All right, so name's Chris Kowalczyk. For those of you who don't know me, I'm an English teacher. I've been teaching English since 2007. I started in Japan, so I've got about 6 years of overseas teaching experience, and then the rest here in the US. Been in teaching in Southern California for most of my career, and so of course that's a little bit different than teaching in other parts of the world or other parts of the US. But yeah, here in the LA and Orange County area of Southern California. So, I think this is episode 4, and originally this podcast was intended just for people who already know me, my current and former students. It's just a way for me to, I don't know, just talk about some things I like to talk about in class, but I am focused on teaching while I'm in the classroom, so I try not to go off too far in a tangent. More, not more than a few minutes during lessons, but I thought this was a good way to get some of my ideas about learning language and living abroad, and really creating those opportunities for learning, and anything else related to language learning and living in another country within the context of language learning. But of course, this is not a teaching podcast. I'm not going to teach you grammar. I'm not going to teach you vocabulary. I'm not really going to teach you any study tips. It's just more about my thoughts and reflections. As the title says, I believe it's Rants, Ramblings, and Reflections. So, I mean, that's basically what it is. I'll be talking about my own language learning experience. I've been learning, or I guess I should say I've been studying, or I have been, no, I stopped. I did study Japanese from, I believe, 17 years old is when I started to get into it. And then, that interest in living in Japan, and studying Japanese, of course, they were connected. And then I lived there for about 6 years total, and then I moved back to my hometown or the area, Los Angeles, in about 2015. And so honestly, since then, I haven't really been using any Japanese. I've only recently started to read things in Japanese and watch some Japanese TV once in a while, because I have a trip booked in April, so that's about 5 months from now. But generally, my language, my Japanese language, I guess, learning has basically stopped. I still enjoy Japan, going to Japan. I like to go back every now and then. But I'm definitely, what happens is when you live abroad, you realize that you are very American. Or some people don't come back either. But what often happens, or sometimes happens, is that when an American lives in another country, they realize just how American they are, and I think that's what happened to me as well. Although I like many things about Japan. My mother is actually from Japan, and so I grew up not speaking a lot of Japanese, but definitely using Japanese here and there. Of course, things for food, and there's a lot of things in any language that just really aren't translatable, so we would use words for those things as well. Such as, when you begin a meal in Japanese, you give thanks, and also when you finish the meal, I believe you also give thanks. So before the meal, we say itadakimasu, and then after the meal, we say gochisou sama. So things like that, you just can't really translate. And of course, the stereotypical immigrant parent who switches to their first language when they're angry, which happened often with my mom as well. She spoke English about 95% of the time, maybe more, but when she was angry, she would sometimes switch to Japanese. So yeah, that's kind of my own background, and I'm sure little things will come out here and there as I talk about the topic for today. The topic is divorcing language from writing. It's kind of a weird title, so let me explain it a little bit. So when I say divorcing language from writing, this comes from my own personal experience as a learner and then also as a teacher. So for most people, what we're going to do is, as a language learner, is we're encountering English or whatever target language. When we learn it later in life, we're learning it through text primarily, at least in my own experience, from what I my observations. Of course, when you move to a new country as a kid, you're going to be getting a lot of that language through the school, and that's going to be spoken, right? Whether it's from classmates or teachers or neighborhoods or whatever. You're going to the swim club when you're 10 years old, your coach is most likely going to be speaking English if you're here in the US. The problem, I think, is that when we learn languages later in life or as a second language, what happens is So maybe like a junior high school student learning English, but they're in Japan, right? Is that we're encountering the language primarily, I think, through text or writing. Now, that's not by itself, that's not bad. The problem is when that becomes our primary way to access that language. So we have to remember, if we go back in time, thousands and thousands of years, that writing is only a recent invention, right? It's a tool for communication. It's a way that we try to capture or represent sounds and words, but it is not a perfect way to capture language, right? Or to represent language. Language is primarily, or at first, it is a spoken form of communication, right? Babies learn to speak before they learn to read or write, right? Or we listen first, right? We listen before we can even speak. And so, I think this is not anything mind-blowing or anything completely new, this idea that adult learners or people learning a language as a second language, especially through school, junior high or high school, is that they're learning a language through text, right? And so this is a huge problem because, first of all, there is no one exact way to say a letter, or I shouldn't even say letter, to say a sound or to say a word or to speak. There's no one single way. But I think a lot of times when we learn a language through text or through writing, we kind of almost hear it in our heads, perhaps, some kind of idealized version of that language. And there's a kind of a comfort in that, right? Because you see them on the page, it's easily understandable. There is no accent when it comes to writing for the most part. There is no speed, right? Because those letters are there. They're locked onto the page or onto the screen. They're not moving. They're stuck in time, you can say. Whereas spoken language is live. It comes and it goes, right? It disappears. Even if you're listening to a recording, you may have to go back and listen again and again and again until you understand it. Whereas when you see something in writing, it's there, right? Almost it has this feeling of permanence and clarity. But we know that for, I would say, most of my students who are learning English, whether here in the US or in Japan as a second language or as a foreign language, is that that's not enough, right? And I think most students would admit that as well, is that we have most students feel stronger understanding written English rather than spoken English. And I think that's the case for a lot of people, whatever language or whatever their country and they're in, right? And like I said, I think there's a bit of a comfort in that, but it's also not realistic, right? In the sense of that's not how people communicate. Well, I shouldn't say that because people do text, but I think you see what I'm trying to get at. But it's also hard to get out of that comfort zone, right? Especially here in the US, especially here in the LA or Orange County in the Southern California, is where you can go shopping and never speak English at the supermarket. You can go to restaurants where people will speak your first language. You're with your family a lot, so you're not speaking English. Maybe even with your kids, even if your kids were born in the US, you may be speaking your first language with them. You might be consuming movies and TV and music, and a lot of your information may still be coming to you in your first language. So what we want to do is we want to separate that spoken language from the written language. And I don't mean to completely separate them. So let me talk about let me try to develop this idea that I'm trying to get across. So if you just look at the alphabet or English spelling or the alphabet in general, what you have is you have letters that represent sounds, right? So you have the letter A, but what does that really mean, right? Is it a, right? We have combinations of letters which create new sounds, but they're not always consistent either, right? You have consonants such as B, B, C, but then what is C, right? C could be a K sound. Or it could be another sound, depending on the context, right? So, yeah, it could have an S sound, right? So, man, it is insane, right? English spelling is really difficult. Now, there's a reason for that. We can go back into history. We see that English has incorporated words from many other languages throughout its maybe 2,000 year, 1,500 year history. And of course, other languages are going to have different spelling rules. And so we're importing all of these words that have different spelling rules, and for a variety of other reasons too, right? We have another issue, which kind of helps explain why English spelling is so crazy, is that the way when that word was written down, it could have been 1,000 years ago, and maybe at that time, the spelling and the pronunciation kind of made more sense, right? But then you fast forward 1,000 years, and language is always changing. And of course, that includes not just vocabulary, but that includes pronunciation. So you fast forward 1,000 years, and then the pronunciation of the word may have changed a lot, but spelling generally does not change. Writing generally does not change. And I think Japanese is probably the same way, right? The words that were used today or 500 years ago, they may look the same. The Chinese characters may be the same, but the problem with English is that pronunciation may have changed a lot. I give you one quick example, which is the word meat, M-E-A-T, and you think, well, why is it meat? Why isn't it mayat or something? And I believe the pronunciation of meat used to be mate instead of meat. I believe it was mate. But anyway, that's kind of another tangent. But I hope that kind of explains or illustrates my point there. We even have issues where spelling was not standardized. Again, going back maybe 1,000 years. So when somebody was writing in one part of England, they may have spelt things a certain way to match their own pronunciation. And then when something was written in a different part of England, they may have spelled things to represent that way of pronunciation. So you have all of these different regions where English is spoken differently. And you can still hear that today in England, where people speak so differently from different parts of the country. And that's not including Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and other places. We're talking just about England, where English was the primary language. And so you've got all, basically it's a mess, right? Thankfully now it's more standardized. So again, getting back to the idea of divorcing language or spoken language from writing. So one thing that I've always recommended to students is to try audiobooks. Now, I know reading is a very popular way to improve one's proficiency in a language. I read a lot of books in Japanese. I used to read on the train a lot. Now, I lived in Japan before smartphones. It was still the flip phone era, very limited internet access, not many games and so on. So basically, I read a lot. And back then, a lot of people read on the train. So, and even when there were smartphones, I actually didn't get a smartphone while I was living in Japan until the very end of my time there. And it was not a great smartphone. It was like some kind of knockoff brand or anyway. So I would still read a lot while I was on the train. Anyway, that's kind of beside the point. So one thing I really wish I had, which we have a lot more now, is digital audiobooks. And with the technology now or the development of it, you can actually read and then on your device, whether that's a Kindle device or your phone or whatever, and then you can listen to the audiobook later, but it will sync, meaning that it'll just pick up where you left off on the reading. So you can read up to page 115, and then maybe in your car you're listening to the audiobook, and it will continue from that page. Maybe you listen for about 30 minutes, and then later when you get home, you read again, and it's going to continue where you left off, which is great. So the idea with that, though, is you're getting the same information, right? You're getting that same content. The words are exactly the same, but you're getting it delivered orally or aurally through spoken language. And I think that's really going to help you break that connection with the thinking of writing as the primary form of communication or the only form of communication for a language, in this case, English. You can actually read and listen at the same time, and it will actually, some apps such as Kindle will actually highlight the text, and then it will keep highlighting, you know, moving forward as you're listening to the audiobook. And so you're kind of making that connection between the written word and the spoken word. And then, of course, later you can stop reading and then just listen. And I know this is uncomfortable for a lot of people, because you're not going to understand everything, right? It's hard to go back and keep rewinding and rewinding and going back and listening again and again. It could be frustrating. It could be time consuming. It requires a lot of focus maybe because you can't just listen mindlessly while you're driving. You may have to really pay attention. And that's okay. You know, you don't need to understand everything 100%. You'll find, and in your first language as well, but you'll find that when you're listening to something, you're not paying 100% attention most of the time anyway. You're usually doing something else. When I'm listening to something and then you ask me, well, what did they say? I say, I don't know exactly. You know, I'm just getting the main idea. I can't tell you exactly what I heard, even like 30 seconds ago. But the point is to kind of really get you out of that habit of seeing English or any language primarily as written. Again, because so many of my students and language learners in general, so many primarily use the written language as the way that they consume information. I did this when I was living in Japan. Even before that, when I was studying, I would listen to podcasts in Japanese, and I gotta be honest, I didn't understand a lot in the beginning. I know there's people watch movies and TV shows and so on, and you have the visuals to kind of help you, the action, the actor's emotions, the context and all that to really help you understand the meaning, and that's great. But I think podcasts, news radio, news stations, whatever, news programs, I think that really takes it to the next level. And you got to make it fun, and you got to take it easy on yourself, not expect yourself to understand everything. What I did was, the one that I listened to the most was this duo called Banana Man or Banana Man. And the Japanese comedy style, I guess, they don't have a lot of stand-up comedians like we do here in the U.S., where it's usually one person. We have a lot of duos or pairs in Japan and other countries too, I'm sure. But in Japan, the two comedian team is I think the primary form of comedy, or at least, you know, stand-up comedy. So these two guys, I would listen to them all the time, every week. I think the podcast was called Banana Man Gold Moon or something like that, Gold Moon. And I just listened to them. You know, I wouldn't understand everything, but I knew their faces. I had seen their videos before. So I had some context, you know, I had some visuals. And yeah, I didn't understand everything. I probably still don't understand everything exactly, but I liked listening to them. And I think that was the most important part too. I just liked listening to them. They had good energy. I was laughing at some things I didn't understand. Again, that was perfectly fine, right? And, you know, just over time, I understood more and more. I just gave it some time. Sometimes I went back and listened again, and sometimes I just didn't care. But that's okay. And I think what that really helped me do was, again, to get away from studying Japanese just primarily through written text. Now, I know there's listening exercises in textbooks, and you can watch a movie with captions and so on. But like I said, I think when you have audio only, it takes it to that next level. I'm going to say another thing too, is that when you watch a movie or a TV show or even like a YouTube video or something like that, there's a script, right? And that makes it very easy to read. But again, you have to remember that when we write things down, even for a movie where the lines are spoken, we're removing a lot of the things that are normal in a conversation or unscripted interactions. A lot of the ums, the uhs, the ohs, going back into the conversation maybe a few seconds and then repeating things and going on side, you know, tangents and so on. Some of the things that we do normally in a conversation are often removed from speeches, from lectures, from anything scripted, movies, TV shows, a lot of YouTube videos, you know. So that's another reason why I think it's very important to, now audiobooks, of course, audiobooks are literally scripted because they're, you know, someone's reading from a book, but, you know, things like interviews on podcasts, radio, where people are just talking, and that's really going to give you an idea of, again, language is not this, like I said, a script, it's a text. You know, it's more than just words, right? There's emotion, there's rhythm, there's a lot of words that don't have any meaning, right? Like, you know, well, Right. So a lot of things that don't have meaning by itself, but have meaning within that communication. And so that's really what I would love students and language learners in general to do is, again, I keep saying it, to kind of divorce language from the written text. So I hope all of that makes sense. So again, getting back to the idea of language being alive as well. And so I want to say alive, I want to say dynamic, I also want to say messy, right? So again, I think a lot of students, what they tell me is that, we understand you, teacher, you speak very clearly. I use a lot of gestures, visuals, we of course use a text as well. We're reading from the book. And I think the students appreciate that, but the students also, I don't want to use the word complain, but maybe voice their anxieties or worries, their difficulties when actually going outside into the real world, quote unquote, and having a hard time understanding, what people are saying, And again, I think we just have to get out of our comfort zones, right? We have to stop thinking of English as, or any language, as a written language or encountering it primarily through the written form. It's scary, I guess. It's uncomfortable. Like I said, it's messy. It's dynamic. There is no script, right? But I think you can get used to that. Again, audiobooks are a good way to start if you like to read. Radio programs, podcasts, you find something you're interested in, right? I told one student, he was really trying to work on his, I guess his listening proficiency, his ability to understand conversations. And I told him audiobooks are great, podcasts are great. What are you interested in? Well, he's interested in soccer. Okay, listen to sports podcasts about soccer. Watch a soccer game, but listen to the English commentary. Watch interviews with soccer players, but in English, right? You want to take that to the next level? I told him to go to a bar. If you're listening to this and you know who you are, right? I told him go to a bar. Well, I didn't say go to a bar specifically. I gave him options: restaurant, cafe, bar was one of the options. He likes to drink beer. I said, hey, go to this bar in Long Beach that I know of. They have a craft beer, right? Small, very unique beers. And he said, yeah, I like that. Okay. So he went, and I said, you know what? Just go listen to people. Just enjoy your beer. A lot of people just drink at the bar. They just hang out there. I said, just listen to people around you. You can have your phone out, whatever you want to do, but I want you to listen to people. I want you to listen to their conversations. I also want you to look at their gestures, their body language, because that's also going to be different. Remember, again, this idea of language is just written as our primary form of interaction with that language is just as a written language. And it takes away so much, takes away or takes out so much of what makes language, a communication tool, right? Again, it takes out the body language, it takes out the tone, the gestures, all these little things, right? When we just primarily interact through the written word, you lose so much of language, right? Of what makes language special. So, yeah, he did that, and he said it was interesting. I think he went back again. That's something I used to do in Japan as well. I never, almost never listened to music while I was outside in Japan. Honestly, I didn't really have a music player. I mean, I had a portable CD player, but I mean, how much can I listen to, right? Very inconvenient as well. I didn't have an iPod for a long time. And even when I had an iPod, to be honest, I didn't really like listening to music while I was outside. I think because I couldn't enjoy it. I'm the kind of guy who likes to listen to music when I can really, appreciate it or enjoy it and kind of get lost. I don't like to listen to music usually when I'm outside. I often don't listen to music when I work out. I might watch some TV or something if I'm working out at home, but if I'm at the gym, I don't listen to anything really. Well, the stupid gym music is playing, but that's beside the point. So I used to just listen to people in Japan. I used to just listen to conversations when I was on the train. Sometimes I put my book down, just listen to people around me. If I was at a cafe, sometimes maybe I was reading a book and again I put the book down. Maybe if I was waiting for my friend at the train station, you know, maybe I've been waiting 10 or 15 minutes. Sometimes I just listen to people around me. I'd observe their body language, their behavior, listen to their rhythms. What are they talking about? I don't really know what they're talking about, but I'm curious, right? And I think curiosity is a big part of that as well. I'm going to keep going back to the same point, but I think we need to get out of our comfort zones. I think we need to stop thinking about a language as something to study and practice. Now, I know we do have to study and practice a language, but I don't want us to think of language as something that you study and practice, if that makes sense. Again, it's a tool for communication. It's a way that people communicate. It's a way that it's how people interact, right? It's not just text, written words. So again, that is a rant, right? As I mentioned, I mean, that's the title of the podcast, Rant, Ramblings, and Reflections. But I hope that all makes sense. You know, this is something, it's a common theme of not only this podcast, but what I try to get students to think about in general is to get out there, to stop thinking about language as something they just study in the classroom. Because I know I have a lot of students who are really just there for the classroom learning, and that's okay. We have a lot of retirees who want to keep their mind sharp and they want to interact with classmates. They do want to learn English, but not necessarily as a tool for communication that they need in their daily lives necessarily, or to advance in their career or what have you. But we do also have a lot of students who really want to improve their English for work, to become better integrated into mainstream American society. To go to college, which of course you're going to be using English, to use English on a daily basis, right? To improve their, I don't want to say quality of life, but to feel more part of America, let's put it that way, or whatever English-speaking country that you're in. And I think a lot of times they're still restricted, maybe, whether knowingly or unknowingly, by this idea, restricted by this idea of English as a subject, English as a written language. Even if you're just watching movies, right? That's still scripted, that's acting, that's still not real, right? And so I want us to get out there, you know? I want us to, even if you don't have people that you can speak English with besides your teacher, your classmates, and that's a whole different story. I did a podcast on that one. I think that was the first episode. Even if you don't have a lot of opportunities to use English, when you go out there, I want you to just listen to people, right? Even if you don't understand them, that's not the point. The point is not to understand 100%. The point is to get used to people speaking. You're going to get used to it. Trust me. That's what happened to me. You know, when I first moved to Japan, even before I moved to Japan, you know, there's a lot I didn't understand. I would watch TV shows. There's a lot I didn't understand. But I kept at it. You know, I just kept listening. I kept my ears open. I didn't worry about not understanding everything. It comes to you. You just have to keep at it. And what happens is when you don't do that, it goes away. And that's what happened to me when I moved back in 2015, is that now in 2024, late 2024, so it's almost 10 years since I moved from Japan back to the US. When I've started studying Japanese again, or reviewing my Japanese, as I mentioned, I'm planning a trip, or I have a trip planned already in about 5 months from now. And so I've been listening to Banana Man again, my favorite Japanese comedians. And I'll tell you, it's not coming to me so easily when I'm listening. I'm actually having to actively, consciously process the language. I'm having to think about what they're saying. And I'm not understanding a lot compared to the way, you know, before I wouldn't even have to think about it. It would be automatic. And of course, so that's something that you can lose as well. But if you can lose it, of course, by implication, you can gain that as well. So you just got to keep at it. Don't give up, right? And again, textbooks are great. Listening activities are great. Listening YouTube videos that help you with your listening, you know, with the questions after. That's all great, right? But let's get to the real spoken English, okay? Get out there, listen to people. Podcasts, interviews, things that are unscripted would be ideal. But, you know, also use audiobooks, okay? Books that you enjoy reading or that you want to read. Listen to the audiobook while you're reading. Then don't even read and just listen to the audiobook. And then you can read again later. Get away from the idea that English or whatever language you're learning, get away from that idea that the written word or the text is the primary way to interact with that. Okay. So again, these are rants, ramblings, and reflections. I think that covers pretty much everything I wanted to talk about. You know, I hope I don't sound too harsh. The goal here is to really get people out of their comfort zones and think about language learning in a different way. And like I said, when I actually moved to Japan, you know, and I was able to just hear people speaking Japanese, you know, not only was it helpful from a language learning perspective, but it was just so interesting to be in that foreign country. Because even though, you know, I'm a Japanese citizen and all of my family lives there, and my mother lives here, but everyone else lives in Japan, all my other family, you know, it feels like a second home, but it's still a foreign country, right? I've spent the majority of my life here in the U.S., so Japan's still a foreign country. And it was so interesting to just hear everyone speaking that language. And so I would just keep my ears open. So I think it's fun. It's interesting. And I hope you feel that same way too. You know, don't think about learning English or any kind of learning as a subject. It's not academic, right? If you want to go academic, you go study linguistics. You go study etymology, the history of words, sociolinguistics, whatever. That would be English as a subject, right? You want to study grammar. Okay, whatever. But let's think of English or any language, target language, let's think of it as something that's alive. Again, a tool for communication. People are speaking it, right? Okay, so I think that's enough. I'm not sure what I'll be doing next. I have some ideas of what I'd like to talk about in the future. But as I always say, leave any suggestions or questions in the comments section. And then I'd love to answer your questions or maybe do a whole episode on something that you're interested in. All right, so hopefully we'll keep this on a week going on a weekly basis. This is episode 4, and let's see how long we can keep going.